Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I am so excited again to be here. God is just moving in a mighty way. Today, before I get right into the show, I just want to talk about a blessing that came my way. I was giving a young man some change who was standing on the corner, and I thought that I was going to get to speak to him, but he preached to me. And he gave me such a powerful revelation, a prophecy over my life that I was just moved. And it just goes to show you never know who God is using to bless you and open up the doors for you, because God is always moving to touch somebody's life, even when you think you're going to touch someone else's. Hallelujah. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. Yes, we are sharing the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. I would like to believe that I can say I was the authority of everything that God had for us, but that should be, I'd just be fooling myself. That's why we're sharing the knowledge. And as the word would tell us, iron sharpened iron, we are strengthening each other to become true warriors for God. You know, the word tells us in Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears to thy saying, and let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh, or medicine. God is the answer that we need, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And as we're experiencing this journey, this spirit housed in this body, we are experiencing the power of God's life when we receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Let us open up in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this golden opportunity. Every time I get to talk about you, it is a golden opportunity, because God, you didn't have to give us your breath and strength this morning, but you did. And you did with forgiveness, Father God. You forgave us of our trespasses, our inequities, our sins, if you will, Father God, and our debt. And because of that, Father God, we get another chance to come, Father God, and learn more about you, your character, your personality, your love for us. Yes, this is a golden opportunity. And I, Father God, right now, I just want to pray, Father God, for anyone who has not accepted you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they will receive you, renounce their old life, and step into the new creation that you provide for us, where they can experience the blessings beyond blessings, Father God, not the way the world gives, but, Father God, the way you give peace, the way you give joy, the way you give true happiness, Father God, that continues each day we wake up. So I thank you, Father God, that they will receive you. And not only will they receive you, but they will be blessed and endowed with the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit, Father God, will illuminate your scripture in order that they may be able to understand, because you said understanding was with you in the beginning. Insight was with you in the beginning, Father God. And if we get knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and the ability of discernment, Father God, this journey won't have to be so tough. So I thank you that people will receive you, God, who have not. And those who were like the prodigal son, and I understand that, Father God, let them come back home. Because when they come back home, your arms will be waiting for them. I thank you, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that the doors of opportunity begins to avail itself, Father God, to many, Father God, who thought there was no opportunity in you. Father God, they will be able to receive the healing power from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, that their physical body would not be compromised. They will begin to develop in a level of spiritual maturity, Father God, like they never had before. Those who are in leadership, Father God, will get a new revelation of spiritual maturity to move forward like Christ did on this earth. I thank you, Father God, that they will receive emotional stability, Father God, not moving to and fro, Father God, but their heart would be guarded by the breastplate of righteousness. I thank you, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that their mind will be operated in a sound fashion, Father God, because you did not give us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So I thank you, Father God, for the many things you give. And I just pray, Father God, people who have ears to hear, Father God, let them hear today, Father God, the message that you put upon my heart, Father God, to be able to impart upon others. And as I share it, Father God, I ask it come back like a basketball on a backboard, Father God, re-strengthening me, Father God, so that I may go forward and continue to go into all the parts of the world and share the gospel. Your word tells us we do not die, but Father God, we will go forward and declare the works of you. So I praise you, Father God, for this to be so. I thank you that I, David, decrease, and you, through the Holy Spirit, will increase in me, Father God, that these words that come forward, Father God, will truly be life-changing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I just thank God again for this opportunity. I thank God for Pastor Teresa and Elder QT for allowing me to this opportunity, for turning to me one day and said, hey, go talk to that young man right there. Because since then, my life has been changed. My life is growing. I am growing in my life. I'm maturing in my life. My life is now getting a whole new look. As they would say on some of them shows, I'm getting a makeover. I'm getting a makeover, and I just praise God for it. Well, today's quote is this: prayer should be the key of the day and the lock of the night. Hallelujah. George Herbert. God can handle your doubts, your anger, your fear, your grief, your confusion, and your questions. You can bring everything to him in prayer. Rick Warren. If you only pray when you are in trouble, you are in trouble. And the other one is, when you can put your prayers into words, God can hear your heart. Hallelujah. I like that one. Let me say that again. When you can't put your prayers into words, God hears your heart. That's powerful. Our prayers have no expiration date. You never know when, where, and how God will answer them. And as I said just a moment ago, when that brother walked up to me, I was like just blown away when he went to talking. And he was so articulate, and I was like, wow, all I could do would be in amazement and just be open to receive. I had ears to hear. Hallelujah. Don't forget to pray today, because God didn't forget to wake you up this morning. Hallelujah. Every day I always thank him for his breath and his strength, because he didn't forget to wake me up. He gave me that golden opportunity again to be able to come forward and enjoy the blessings of this life. Now, the scripture tells us in Psalm 69:13, but as far from me, my prayers is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. See, you know, one thing that I like to think about is that man may not always be able to be faithful, but God is always faithful, and that is a beauty in itself. Psalms 102, 16 and 17 says, "For the Lord built up Zion, and he appeared in his glory, and he regarded the prayer of the destitute and does not despise their prayer." Feel human struggle, when you feel destitute, lost, hopeless, God is still hearing your prayer. He don't despise that. He said, "Come to me." Hallelujah. And in Job 22:27, you can make your prayers to him, and he will hear you, and you will pay, and you will pay your vow. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of a righteous man. Hallelujah. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words, excuse me. Yes, the power of God's word is amazing, but the power of the Spirit takes it to a whole nother level. Yeah, and as always, I like to share a little story in relation to this particular message that God has given me today. This is the power of prayer, not the person who prays. Once a ship was wrecked at sea due to a storm where only two men out of the whole crew were able to swim themselves to a small desolate island. After both reached the island, they didn't know what to do, and both talked, and they reached on the conclusion that there is nothing they can do except to pray to God and wait for a rescue. However, they both decided to divide the territory between both of them and stay at opposite sides of it. They did this to determine whose prayer would be the more effective. First thing they needed was food. And since the first man prayed for the food, the next day he saw fruit-bearing trees on his side and saw that the other man on his side still was barren. After 2 weeks, the first man felt lonely and prayed for a wife, and the next day a survivor from a shipwreck swam to his side of land. And on the other side, hallelujah, on the other side, there was nothing for the other man. The next, the first man prayed for home clothes and food. Like magic, he got all those things, and still the other man's side was the same, but nothing changed. Then finally, the first man prayed for a ship so that he and his wife, the person who was shipwrecked secondly, could leave the island. Next, the ship docked at the side of that island. He boarded on the ship with his wife, and the first man thought, since none of that man's prayers were answered, he is unworthy of leaving that island. First, the man decided to leave the other man on the island, and as the ship was about to leave, the first man heard a voice from the sky saying, "Why are you leaving your companion on the island?" The first man replied, "Since I got everything I prayed for, this must mean that due to my faith and prayer, that's what I received, and he did not. So I figured he didn't deserve to leave this island with me." The voice from the sky responded, "You are truly mistaken. You are in great debt to this man." And the first man said, "How is that?" asked him. "It was that person's faith and prayer that invoked your blessings, for he was the one who prayed that all you were praying for might be answered," the voice from the sky replied. You see, the moral story is never let what you see when you receive your blessings be the full determining factor on how God bless you, because someone else could be praying in the gap. And when they're praying in the gap, the seed that you planted could be because they've been watering the seed for you to get your harvest. Hallelujah. Well, our message for the day is prayer that changes us. This is why we pray. John 3:9-3 says, "This happens so that the work of God might be displayed in him." Last week, many believers started participating in a religious practice known as Ash Wednesday, where the participants practiced Lent and fasting to learn that this passed down knowledge that I had was limiting, therefore causing me not to have a clear understanding of the Catholic belief. which only kept me ignorant and not having a clear understanding of God's purpose for their walk. Yet even with that, I lacked understanding about the fact that Christians who could be Catholic as well practice Lent as a part of fasting. You see, I didn't understand the correlation between the two, because the way I understood it was that only Catholics exercised Lent. Therefore, I did some reading to discover what the true purpose of Lent was all about. Thus, one writer stated that the true purpose of Lent was for preparation of believer for Easter through prayer, crucifying the flesh, repentance of the sin, charity giving, and simple living and self-denial. Then I thought, well, what does the literal meaning of Lent mean? Well, it comes from the old English word lente, meaning lengthening, or a day of daylight hours, or less literally, spring or springtime. Then I asked the question, Christians, what do some Christians do during Lent? And it brought about the fact that Lent is a season for reflection, preparation before celebration of Easter or Resurrected Sunday. By observing the 40 days of Lent, Christians replicate Jesus Christ's sacrifice and withdrawn into the desert when he was drawn into the desert for 40 days. Then I asked the question, what was the purpose of fasting? Many responses came back, but one author stated, fasting is a spiritual discipline that is taught in the Bible. Jesus expected his followers to fast, and he said that God rewards fasting. Fasting, according to the Bible, means voluntarily reducing or eliminating your intake of food for a specific time and purpose. Another author stated, to develop spiritual strength, increase resistance to temptation, develop self-mastery, making our spirit master of our bodies, showing humility. But now the last author I want to suggest, he said the primary purpose for prayer or Lent is not just to change the circumstance, but the primary purpose is to change us. But either way, the chief objective remains the same, to glorify God in any and every situation. It was the last statement that I personally prefer, which is to change us and glorify God in any and every situation. You see, as I reflect over my own walk, which has been an ever-changing journey filled with highs and lows, good experience, overwhelming experience, bad experience, and each taught me lessons that I decided not to let them become my life curse, but truly life lessons. Because each experience that I had, especially the ones that I didn't like or the ones that one would consider bad, they seemed to give me a broader perspective on just better than those that I thought was good. It made me dig deeper. It made me look in the mirror. It made me examine myself. I'm talking a little more about me because I don't know everybody else, but I do know me well. And I sense I'm a little more revealing, which I was just reading something the other day that said you don't have to confess your sins or what have you to man. But that doesn't bother me. See, because, again, the thing that I'm learning as I'm talking to more men and spending these quality time with them and getting the intimate relationship with these men to understand their thoughts, their emotions and ideals about life, I see that there's a wall up there, a wall that allows them not to be as authentic, not to be as real as they want to be. Now, obviously, I talk to females too, but my primary focus is men, and this is not my men's show. But it helps me to dig deeper because I'm a man. And it makes me start to recognize the importance of some of the things that I learned through my wrongdoing to be able to be better towards my right doing. So God has given me a different insight through the Holy Spirit on how to look at things. And so it's important for me that I learn the importance of why I do what I do. Hallelujah. So one of the lessons that I believe the Holy Spirit gave me in this message today was that we should seek out God's instruction and not just follow man's instruction, which puts us in a position to sometimes compromise ourselves. And this is not to take anything from any human being, leaders, subordinates, whatever the case may be, but sometimes because of our lack of knowledge, we can get destroyed, not in a major way, but just destroyed to take us off the path. I was talking to a gentleman this morning. I said, every time that I stepped into the arena of a relationship, a female relationship, I got distracted. And the reason being, not because the female was the distraction, is because I got caught up. So I would say I was exercising idolatry. She became my focus, and I got off the focus of God. Whatever she wanted, she got. And so somewhat I understand the problems of David and Solomon and even Abraham and how you can get distracted. And I notice, and I could be wrong because, again, I'm just growing in this walk. But I could be wrong, but Jesus didn't get distracted like that. And I'm sure being Jesus, he was like a rock star. I mean, I'm sure females were coming from everywhere. And since there's no temptation on unto man that he didn't experience, he probably went through the challenges. But I noticed that was an issue for me. But every time I had this period where I was not focusing on a relationship, and some of that was my fantasy. You know, to have the white picket fence, the wife, and all those things. And sometimes everybody don't get the manual, so they may not be on the same page. See, I didn't get the concept early on when I was talking to my spiritual father, if you will. At the time, he was just a patronizing bishop, and when he told me he needed to be equally yoked. See, I thought he was talking about we got to be exactly alike. See, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And I didn't understand the power of prayer and to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, to go to the Holy Spirit so I can get the revelation I needed, the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding and ability of discernment of God's word for myself. So it would take me off my path. And see, one of the things that I learned was that one has to test the Spirit. 1 John 4:1-6 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God." I didn't do that. And mind you, I said females, but there were guys that I knew who were supposed to be my friends, quote unquote, and their spirit wasn't aligned with mine. We weren't equally yoked. But because the way I was raised to try to befriend everybody, be kind to everybody, this was just basic. This wasn't necessarily all about godly teaching. This is just the basis of the era that I grew up in. Pretty much you treat people how you want to be treated. But everybody didn't get the manual. So I could get through off my path. I was always a hardworking young man, always out there on the grind. Like I said sometime in my other shows, you know, I wasn't the one-job guy. Get three jobs, there's four jobs. Are you Jamaican man? Yeah, I would go out there and get it. Anything that I did, I went a little bit overboard. But it's because I was determined. I wanted something different. I wanted to be different. I didn't want to, even though I got into the traps with some of those guys that always put me away and put me in prison to become an animal in a cage. As a matter of fact, I was telling the story to my young boys Sunday, and I did an illustration. I took a milk cart, and I had a phone, and I stuck the phone under the milk cart, and I sat on it and I said, "This is an animal in a cage." And when I went to jail for the first time and I recognized that I couldn't get out, and they were telling me what to do and how to do it and when to do it, I knew then, and I said to myself, "I'm an animal in a cage," because I was being distracted, diverted. I wasn't testing the spirit. I was moving on how the world was presenting, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Maybe you don't call them prophets, but you call them players, hustlers. You call them white-collar businessmen. You call them men of authority. And yet they didn't have that solid foundation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to move them to operate out of God's will, because they were operating out of their will. As we see all the shows today of young billionaires that haven't even reached 50 yet, and they're getting all the trimmings and the tappings that people strive a lifetime to get a portion, and they got them. But they're so powerful in their illusion because Satan is working through them. Not all, but the illusion of what he presents can be diverting. I understand that. You can get caught up. But this is the importance of testing the spirit. But if you don't know nothing about prayer, You don't get this. And by this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. When many people talking about Jesus then. And even through the course of my life, for those who were, sometimes I ran into some major disappointments. Because I was looking, I thought when people got saved, and I went to my first church, matter of fact, where my spiritual father at, when I saw some people doing what they're doing, I said, they don't look no different than where I was in the street. The women that I was dating out of the church were doing what the women do in the street. Such a disillusion for me. Blew me away. So there was some confusion. Because I bought into the delusion that this is what it looks like. But again, people have to grow. We have to spiritually mature. And so we were talking today in our Bible study, and we were talking about Jonathan being with David and being so loyal to David. But I went back to say that maybe it was loyalty by passed down information. Maybe it was loyalty because he had a bond as a friend. But maybe it wasn't the same loyalty as Nathan, who had a relationship with God. So the insight that we have to get, we have to test the spirit. All this can be done through prayer. This, and then it says that this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. Oh, I heard that 1,000 times and not more. And I didn't grasp it. I didn't get it. I didn't even associate the Holy Spirit. See, again, knowledge is so important. For they are from the world, and therefore they speak as from the world. And the world listens to them. The world listens to them. This is when we look at our athletes and our sports figures and all those people. But I do want to read something. The Holy Spirit just hit me with this. And hopefully I can find it real quickly because it was so mind-blowing to me. I was like, wow. I was with my daughter, and this came up. Let me see here. Give me one second, people. Let's see here. It says, we are not producing saints. Our models are successful businessmen, celebrity athletes, theatrical personalities. We carry our religious activity after the method of the modern advertiser. Our home has become turned into a theater. Our literature is shallow and bordering on sacrilegious and sacred operations that we should be doing is anything but what God intended to be. We must be better. We must have a better Christian. I'm looking at this on my phone. So, we must be better Christians within another half century. We may not have true Christianity at all. We may not have true Christianity at all. I thought that was so profound because that's what the picture looks like, because we're listening to the world. We're listening to the world. Again, I repeat that. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. How easy it is to get caught up. We are from God, and the one who knows God listens to us, and the one who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I didn't know the spirit of error because I didn't spend that kind of quality time with God. I didn't spend that quality time getting to know God. I knew of him, but I didn't know him. And if you can know a people, like somebody say, oh, you know James Brown. Oh, yeah, I heard of James Brown. But you don't know James Brown unless you spend time with James Brown. You see? See, this mindset didn't just come from out of a vacuum, but more out of the question, I am being moved more by the Holy Spirit, or am I being moved by the spirit of the world? In this week, I have come across many people who are Christians, and I want to believe this is so. But when in a more in-depth conversation, many are doing Lent, but not sure if they're truly praying, if prayer truly is their primary objective, and is it truly to glorify God, or is it just another religious practice that we follow because man tells us to, and not the Holy Spirit. Let me be clear. This is not a judgment or criticism or that I have more knowledge because you can take this to the bank. I truly am trying to be spiritually mature in my walk with Christ and to be transformed from the conformities of this world. Even if it means testing the traditional practice for the true spiritual development that God has intended for me. I wonder, as I'm moving along and God is showing me and opening up my eyes, is making me to recognize what truly is important. See, I personally have been involved in a lot of prayer groups, study groups, a part of many spiritual and social missions because I truly want to grow to be a man of God and who he wants me to be. And I often, when I'm in these groups, I ask the question, why are we doing this? Because I don't need to regurgitate information. I want to be able to take the information and get the meaning so as it gets deep-rooted, as he tells us, let it not depart from our heart. It gets deep-rooted in my heart, so when the time comes, I know that the Holy Spirit will bring all things to my remembrance. And even know when not to speak, because as I was talking about the brother today, I could have said something, but the Holy Spirit say, stand down. And the more he talked, the more powerful his word was. I had this happen in my son's church, too. Another guy that was just out of left field, the unlikely to do, blew me away. The Holy Spirit helps me there. But that's because now I'm spending that quality time in prayer. But however, as the author stated, for which I added my own two cents in, for when we pray or fast, I want it not to be just to change any particular circumstance, but I want it to change me for the glory of God and for my own spiritual maturity in Christ Jesus. I believe this should be our primary objective. Paul understood this clearly. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, it says, concerning this I plead with the Lord three times that it might lead me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I delight in weakness, in insult, in distress, in persecution, in difficulty, in the behalf of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, this is essential because even though Paul wanted his circumstance to change or leave him, God informed him that his grace is sufficient for him. Thus, Paul was ready to move forward because he listened to the one that was greater in him than he who was in the world. You see, Galatians 1:10, Paul understood the bigger picture. He said, Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I'm still trying to please people, I will not be a servant of Christ. I will not be a servant of Christ. This I am striving myself. Not to become a people pleaser as I was in my old man, but to be a God pleaser. You see, these two scriptures are major points of the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit as he gave me understanding of the purpose of prayer, Lent, and fasting, and the power of the function, the powerful function of prayer, for who it would make me to become and who it would allow me to and it will allow me to do what Christ intended for me to do. Because he have a plan for our life, plan for us to prosper, not prosperity as the world give it, not success as the world give it, but to strive to get closer to him. Therefore, we will be able to truly have a hope and a future and not experience the kind of harm that would distract us, as I talked about earlier. See, that was harmful for me. Because why was it harmful? Because it diverted me from the time that God gave me to use it for his glory. And I still struggle with this today, but not as much. See, now I kept being somewhat condemning of myself. Because when I would look at others and it looked like they got it all together, they're walking the walk, they're talking the talk, they got the titles. I don't really care about titles, but they got the titles. They got everything that it seems that would make them men and women of God. And it would always dwarf me in my thoughts at times. But then I realized that God don't need me to be them. He need me to be me. He need me to be able to go forward trusting and dependent on him totally so he can use me when I get the call. Who shall I send? I can raise my hand. I can step out with my right foot and move forward with my left and meet the mission. But I knew this could not happen unless I spent that quality time with him. Therefore, as I ask the Holy Spirit to lead me, I ask you who are listening, whether it is one or many, that you have ears to hear the instruction and the wisdom of God's word, not just through me, but through many, but more so through his written word and through the Holy Spirit. Because my hope going forward is that it becomes such a powerful part of our life, that prayer becomes a powerful part of our life, that fasting becomes a powerful part of our life, that truly it changes us. And my hope that this change is to give God all the glory, honor, and praise, that he would look down upon us and say, this is my child who I am well pleased. So I want to present to you, again, I won't be before you long, but I want to present to you the importance of prayer. This is what this series is going to be about. 12 reasons why we should pray the scriptures, 10 fields of prayer, principles of prayer, and how prayer availeth much. See, now I would like to tell you that I'm the author of all these great knowledge that the Holy Spirit has given me. But I have to say that I've pulled from various resources led by the Holy Spirit to help us gain a deeper understanding of the one and most important part of a Christian's walk, which to me is our prayer life. This also will help us to be able to be better intercessors. And I pray that as other intercessors are listening, that they too will be able to gain something if they're already there, praise God. But if not, maybe there'll be a morsel in this as we go forward that will allow them to be even better. I never thought, as great of a horseman I was, great of a soldier I was, and I say this observation and presentation about me, I always thought I could get better. I said, well, if I just do this, again, I'm an overachiever. I always thought I could do it better. I could get it better. What more detail do I need to add? Well, now as I'm growing in God's word, I be asking the question, how can I do better? And when I go into prayer, I wonder, am I doing it right? Am I praying long enough? Am I praying the right way? Am I moving in the right direction? God, why did I fail last night? Or why am I failing out? Why is Satan in my head when I'm in the middle of prayer with you? I'm always asking the questions, but the questions is not, it's the major thing, because at some point when you ask the questions, God will give you the answer. He will give you the answer. And it may not be the answer that you would tailor it to be, but he'll give you the answer to help you be the best you can be. So right now I want to explain why prayer is important before I close out, and we'll pick it up. First, prayer is aligns our heart with God, our creator, and our sustainer, where we can develop in our personal worship in his presence. If you ain't there, how can you get that connection? If a man was giving you $1 million and he crossed town, you can't receive it if you're not there. You have to be in the presence because it's a hardcore check. And he says, I need to put it in your hand. So you got to be present, but you got to align yourself with him. So prayer allows us to align our heart. And since God judges the heart, God looks into the heart. God doesn't look at the outer appearance like man do. God looks at our heart. This is why one of the reasons he said David was a man after his own heart. Not David's brothers who looked the stature that society would say he got it going on. Prayer, as I mentioned previously, prayer is a holy privilege because we become a part of what God is doing in others' lives. When people come to me and ask me to pray, this becomes an honor because they're not asking me to go to the President of the United States. They're not asking me to go to the CEO of a company. They're asking me to be a prayer warrior to talk to God, our creator, our sustainer, the one who knew us first. This is amazing. It's such an honor. No wonder I realize why people respected the high priest of Pope. We don't need him now. I mean, at least as I understand it. We don't need him in that way because we can go directly to God. Third, prayer brings us closer to God through Jesus as well as fellow believers in Christ Jesus. I noticed because as I began to get on these prayer calls and these meetings, I started to realize we started off as members or associates, but then we became family. We developed bonds and connections. We got to get intimate details of each other. I got to see people to be authentic. See, again, one thing, when I was in the streets, I knew me and my buddies to say who's going to glory now. He was the one that got me going to church, at least at his church. I was going to theater, but it was another level when I joined this church that I'm in now. But in that, we used to say, we don't like perpetrators. Either be who you are and be real and authentic or keep it moving. But this is the part that helps us when we draw closer to God and we begin to fellowship. God opens up the hearts of many. God allows people to be vulnerable. You got to be vulnerable to walk this life. You got to be willing to let your pride be put to the side. You got to communicate from the depths of your heart. The reason we see suicide at an all-time rate, we're seeing depression at an all-time rate, we're seeing anxiety at an all-time rate, because people are not authentic. They're trying to create the illusion that they're somebody, or trying to create the illusion that they're better than somebody, or they retreat because they don't think they're as valuable as somebody. As the song say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Why would that man think he a nobody when Christ was died for us? God sent his only begotten son for us. God sacrificed him for us. Jesus sacrificed himself on the tree for us. How can we get to the point where we think we're nobody because we're trying to please man? The illusion. But when you get into prayer, God will allow you to test the Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit to open your eyes, that you build an authentic relationship that you never had. And I see this through prayer and the connection of others praying, iron sharpening iron. Hallelujah. For prayer is a vital part of our faith walk. Because as we study and meditate on God's word, we begin to understand the personality and the character of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We begin to develop in truth because we worship in spirit. Now, we are not just praying out of our flesh, which doesn't give us the true power we need, but when we pray in the spirit, it begins to allow us to use God's weaponry. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bring this captive to the obedience, the thoughts to the obedience of Christ. See, it's that thought life, that head knowledge in there. And if it's distorted, garbage in, garbage out. But when we begin to pray, God through the Holy Spirit will illuminate the scripture to give us the true meaning, the true purpose, and give us the when, how, where, and what to do. Prayer life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we no longer have to use our common personal language, but we now have the true power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now will quicken our mortal body because it lives in us. Hallelujah. You see, John 4:2 tells us God is spirit, and they that worship must worship him in spirit and in truth. And in Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the spirit all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for our Lord's people. We have to keep praying for each other. Not one sheep should be lost. The one thing I love about the military, no man left behind. See, too many people are being left behind because of pride, because of arrogance, because of conceit. Because of self-seeking behavior, everybody should be important to us. But we lose it because the great illusionist creates that ideal that is all about me, myself, and I. But I'll end it with his saying, that's just a lie. Fifth, prayer allows us to acknowledge our offenses. James 5:16 says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When we go into prayer and we go with a genuine heart, praying for others, When we go and we fall short, what the word tells us, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive of our sin and cleanse us from all our righteousness. We become right, back in right standing through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That celebration in itself, that our name could be written into the book of life. And then 1 John 1:7-9 said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. See, I used to think that people, when they got saved, they were walking sinless. How could I be that ignorant? It's because I had hope for something. When I know that if you with this flesh, the flesh is going to do what it do. That's why it wages war against the spirit. But when we allow the spirit, the Holy Spirit, through prayer to work with us, we begin to have a power source that we never had before. As I heard someone say, we pulled away from the source. We pulled away from the source. And we become like dry bones. See, if our body don't get this nutrients from the blood, it can't exist. So we need to be connected. Hallelujah. Then prayer reveals the wisdom of God. Prayer is like a two-way street. Our conversation goes both directions. Yes, we will talk to God, but when we spend time with him and are willing to receive, we will also hear from him. You see, James 1:5 says, if anyone lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Early on, I asked God for wisdom, but I realized something, that as I got the wisdom, and because I hadn't had a strong prayer life, the wisdom was working in my favor, yes, as far as the world is concerned, I had it going on, and as they say, I was all at the bag of chips, but it was being initiated spiritually. See, I'm talking about me, because I hope that somebody would gain something out of it. Because when I see people who are genuine, when I see people who are authentic, when I see people that let me know, hey, I failed in this too. And see, it's funny because people like to hide their stuff, but we read all about the sins in the people in the Bible. And we'll talk about them like never before. How could David do that? How could Saul be that way? How could Nero and all them guys be out of control? How could this be happening? We don't mind reading about everybody else's stuff. So we say, ain't no sin in us. But it's funny that when the people who caught the woman in adultery, they didn't confess their sins. But Jesus didn't ask them. He just said, well, you be without sin. So they end up having to confess by omission. That at the end of the day, they recognized they were missing it too. They may not have done that one, but they missed it. But Jesus understood that because he would look to us and he would love us anyway. Because he knew the best was in us. See, Jesus prayed all night before selecting the 12 apostles. And he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane to try to ascend to God and regarding what God was asking of him. His time in prayer helped him align his will with that of his Father. Just as our time with God will do for us. After getting in touch with the heart of God and realize how much he loves us, we learn to trust him and value his insight and guidance. Hallelujah. Then prayer shows us the heart of God. You see, when Jesus prayed for his disciples out of John 7, he prayed for those who would believe in him, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you and I, you and me, and I am in you. And I think if I recall, the scripture says that the I in them and thou in me, that thou may be made perfect in one, and that the world would know if thou hast sent me and loved me, love them as you love me. How wonderful. You see, prayer helps us to become one with the Father and have a kind of relationship Jesus had with him. The Bible is filled with stories that illustrates that God desired to have an intimate relationship with his people. And any close relationship involving communication. And when two people have no contact with each other, their relationship will never advance. And since prayer is, quite simply, a conversation with God, it is how we get to know him. So I'm going to close here, but we can see how important prayer is and how much Christ exercised prayer. Jesus often withdrew from the crowd to seek time alone with the Father. See, Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus often withdraw to a lonely place to prayer. So my friends and my family, if the Savior of the world sought time with God, how much more should we devote time into prayer ourselves? Hallelujah. Next week, we'll pick up on the next aspects of prayer. The soldier's perspective, prayer that moves mountains if we are willing to pray. We all want our prayers to be answered, whether they are the will of God or not. And for some, the will of God is secondary, and their personal will is primary. I believe this is usually due to lack of knowledge about God and his will for our lives. Yet either way, many want those prayers answered. But if we are wise when we pray, we should come first with thanksgiving and praise. For God loves the giving and thankful heart. And as we go out through this week, let's give thanks to our Heavenly Father for his patience that he has shown us and allowed us to experience. The scripture tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. You see, humility is one of the key aspects of prayer. We must be willing to humble ourselves, not just to be self-seeking, but God-seeking, to hear from heaven as we pray. When we seek God's face and not the face of in the mirror, then we will be able to forgive ourselves, our brothers, and the land, whether territory of the planet or whether territory of mentally emotional territory. Either way, today we need healing. So let's pray to God that he helps us, and let's always remember as we pray that God is always with us. And as we go forward, remember this out of Mark 10:35-45. And I briefly said in this way, Jesus explained that he came as the Son of Man to give his life as ransom. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. We need to take heed to this because it's so essential that as we go forward, when we're learning God's word and we're spending that quality time in prayer, we are ready to go out to serve. But even as I had my boys last week serving at the prayer breakfast, as they were serving others, they had to exercise humility. Because funny enough, Christian folks can be interesting because they can be very demanding and, you know, very self-seeking. But the boys were humble because we've been teaching humility. And more so they displayed it than sometimes when we're just working with them on the average class day. But it was amazing to see they recognized the importance of servitude. Let us develop a prayer life so we can go forward and be a servant of God. And being a servant of God, sometimes you got to be a soldier. So we have to train as we fight and fight as we train to be the best soldiers and servants of God. So in all ways, I like to make sure that anyone that came on would know the most important thing we need to do is receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, to be able to turn away from our old ways and move into the new creation that God has for us. Because, see, old things will pass away and all things become new in Jesus Christ. It's just the three simple things, the ABCs, as the young lady said, and I like it. She say, accept Christ your personal Lord and Savior, believe in your heart that he died for you, and confess with your mouth that you're receiving him in your life. Hallelujah. And as closing, I always like to bring up that if you want to join the team, all you got to do is email us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com, because God is always looking for warriors. Contact us at the home office. You can call direct at 313-583-9739. And you can always sow into the ministry, because the ministry, if you will, it costs. Salvation is free, but the ministry costs. So anything you can give, $1 can make a change. Hallelujah. And that's at giveify.com, which is www.giveify.com. So let us go forward in all that we do, go in love. Let us keep a servant attitude. And as always, in part, you pray for me, I pray for you, and watch the miraculous things that our God will do. You have a wonderful week. God bless.